okay, I guess we can begin the ongoing Koine class. I believe that it is August 18th. Is that correct? And August 18th, 2012. I'm thankful that all you beautiful saints are with me tonight. How am I coming across? Am I coming across all right? Okay, really good, really good. Yeah, I'd like to open up always with a word of prayer of God, word of prayer as far as to our God, as far as that is concerned. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, yes, your Son, without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the complete Bible and Scriptures will be unknowable, because in a sense, and certainly in a big way, the Scriptures concern your Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, from Creator to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Head of the Body, and many other things that He is. We're thankful that we were chosen out before the overthrow, before, well, we'd have to study that one out, but certainly you had this in your mind, I believe, before things were actually even created, you know, the beginning from the, and, you know, scriptures state that in a lot of ways we don't know what we shall be, but we do have words of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul that the sufferings of this present time, this is out of Romans, that the Acts dispensation, but still it's very applicable. The sufferings of our present time are not even worthy to begin to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know that that was concerning the New Jerusalem, let alone the church, which is His fullness, that is going to be on display for principalities and powers in the heavenlies. We have these words, and we have this yearning in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit that has sealed us. We do understand great things of the Lord, yet I don't believe our human minds are capable to move into the arenas of the spiritual world, and that's why the Lord has us remain as we are. We're ever learning of Him. That's what we should be doing. Our minds and our hearts are on Him. That's what we should be doing. Our lives are for Him. That's what we should be doing. We're studying the Koine Greek tonight again, the New Testament language that the Lord chose for His incredible and awesome holy word that we have, the many blessings that we have, and we just pray that no matter what the temptation might be to move away from learning about you, many various things can come across our paths in life. We pray that our minds might be a one single-mindedness on you, because we know that that is what you want in us, and we pray that we might not be failures in bringing glory to you in this brief span of time that we call life in the flesh. And we pray that you might work through us, for we know that the excellency is in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, and in nothing else on this planet that is sin-sick and moving towards the revealing of the evil one, and eventually the setting up of Christ's kingdom on earth, of God's kingdom on earth. And we pray for our mindset as far as right division is concerned, that you would lead us to study the scriptures that you would have us, for your sake and for your purpose, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Head. Amen. So here we are again tonight, folks, studying the Koine Greek, excellent material. And you know what I would say to you in beginning is that certainly it's a lot of information. I always hammer the idea that you get as much out of it as you put in it. For those that started it and that aren't here, we can weep over that. We can have heartfelt thoughts over that. But if everybody's got to make their choice and decision about what they're going to do in life. It goes with the scriptures too. There's a particular time where children aren't children anymore. They have their own adult lives. We have our own adult lives. We can make it anywhere we really, really want to make it. I don't believe that the excuses that we come up with are valid for the most part. Human beings do what they want to do. And some life-threatening illness or something like that, we all choose to do what we want to do. And so we would just pray that, the knowledge of the Lord goes out in these sessions that we have together, they're recorded, and they go out, and we just hope that they're used. We can't really do anything but stand for the Lord, preach the Lord, study His Word, and then be revealers of His truth to whomever He puts in our path. And other than that, it's His work, so we're just His vessels of operation here. So, I just wouldn't get too overwrought in other folks, depending upon what they choose to do. So, at any rate, but we love all the saints, and we all pray that we might make the right decisions for the Lord according to His will. Let's turn to page 52 again, and what we're going to do is we're going to cover the last half of lesson number 7 tonight. Now, first of all, let's keep your finger at page 52 and turn back to, page number 14. All right, turn back to page number 14. Okay, now on page number 14 we have listed the 7 tenets of the Koine Greek language system. And I'm going to tell you this, that I looked over the whole book, our whole text, and I don't believe that the text covers the future perfect tense at all. What you're going to notice is that in the active indicative case, six of these tenses are going to be covered for sure in the text. So far, we've gotten through the present active indicative, the future active indicative, and now we're working on the imperfect and aorist active indicative. And if we looked ahead to subsequent studies, we find that the perfect active indicative and the pluperfect active indicative are going to be covered. And as I stay, and then I looked at to see if the future perfect was, and I didn't find it either. I'm not seeing things right or whatever, but that's what I found out in looking through the whole text. And as I stated before, we should be making up a chart as far as the suffix endings that dictate what these tenses are. Last week, I said to you that it would be very important for you to make up a chart of dealing with these tenses. And we've gotten, we're going to move through four of them by the end of tonight. And I don't have my notes from last time, but I know that there are particular paradigms that I gave to you that include the one on page 50. Like if you turn to page 50, You'll notice that Dr. Black has used the verb luo as an example from the start of the text even till now as an example of example verb to use to instruct us as to how luo would be inflected to get these tenses. And we notice on page 50. Thanks, Chip. We notice on page 50 that we've somewhat covered the imperfect and aorist tenses as far as luo was concerned. You can see that in the imperfect it was eluant, eluen, eluamen, eluamen, actually, eluata, and eluan. I was loosing, you were loosing, he was loosing, we all were loosing, you all were loosing, and they all were loosing, that we noticed that the suffix endings and how they were placed and what they are as far as the imperfect. You would combine this with paradigms, let's see, as I stated last time, paradigms on page 18, page 18. If you turn back there, you'll find for the same example of luo, I loose, we have the present active indicative and the future active indicative. So if you would combine the gray box on page 18 with the gray box on page 50 in a chart, you could, at an eye's glance, know what the suffix endings are in the Koine that would help you to identify verbs in these four tenses. And that's very important. And then I think there was one other page that I had where another tense was covered, but we'll carry on with that. But it's important. See, it's important to make up this chart. Otherwise, 76. Okay, page 76. If you look at page 76, you'll find the pluperfect active indicative there, which you can add to your chart and see. The point of this is this all works together. This all works together like parts in a machine, like parts of a puzzle. And so, and then the only one that we'd have to add to the chart would be the perfect tense. At 73, on page 73, thank you, Chip. On page 73, you could even, you could add that box to your chart, so you'd have this chart that had these paradigms on it all in one glance, and then you would have to write out what they meant, and then the endings. And I know you say, "Wow, that's a lot." Well, see, what we're doing here is we're building a foundation to be able to identify Koine Greek verb forms in the New Testament in six tenses by these endings. So it's like this. Once you look at these endings, you're going to move to the Greek New Testament and you're going to see other verbs with endings and you'll know what tense you're looking at. And see, certainly it takes work, but you're not going to get away without it. And if nothing else, I will say this. If nothing else, if you're a, we all are good studiers of the Word of God, this, what we're learning here can be a reference. Let's say you didn't have the time to do this chart, which, well, the Lord will light you up for that one. But, let's say you didn't have time, for studying these endings at a glance. Well, the Lord might cripple you for that one. But even though you're still living and you had an excuse, you could use what you're learning as a reference. So if you're like, let's say, doing a study, and you are looking at the Koine, and you run into Koine forms, and you're doing a study on some scriptures. Well, you could look at these forms, noun, adjective, verbs, and you could decipher what they are. It might take you, you know, a little bit of time with the lexicon and looking back into this text here, but so what? At least you'll have the ammunition to be good teachers of the Word of God, if that all makes sense to you. So even if, this is what I see, even if you didn't have the time to put the correct time into this, you could still use the principles we're learning as a teacher by using this as a reference, like you would looking at the appendices in the companion Bible or whatever. You would be, you know, you could say, hey, I went over those tenses. I'm not ignorant to what that is. Hey, I went over adjectives in the Koine Greek. I'm not ignorant to what that is. And so my point is, even though we're accelerating for a little while, the point of it is you're going to get exposure. And then after the exposure, you know, I think I was talking to Doherty about prepositions. Well, we're going to look at that next time, the prepositions in chapter 8. And, you know, so you get then personal pronouns in chapter 9. And like I said before, I think we're going to move at least up to chapter 10, which has to do with the perfect and pluperfect active indicative. So after chapter 10, you'll have six tenses on this chart. And then we can, and I can talk to you folks, and you'd say, well, you know, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to read over the alphabet again. Great, we'll do it. Hey, I'd like to go over a bit of lesson 3 again. Okay, we'll do it. And then we'll live in these 10 chapters for a while. And then after I feel that we've lived there for time enough, we'll move on again and see what's going to happen is as, you know, we're going to, as we move on, you're going to get exposed. You're gonna at least hear these things, so that when you study on your own and you run into a Greek form that's in the future active indicative, you won't say, what's future active indicative? You'll at least know what's being talked about there. You know what I'm saying? And that, to me, that makes sense. I'm doing that for me. You know, I'm doing this for me, too, and I love it. So I thought I'd go over that again, but let's go back to 52. We're going to cover pages 52 through at least 55 today, and maybe we'll get into some vocabulary, all right? But, you know, it's important that this makes sense to you. So, and what we're getting into now is we're getting into the aorist tense, which is really important, and into the imperfect tense. And we're going to read some excellent things about tenses. Certainly the aorist tense is big, big, big. It's big in our calling. And so I know that for sure. So, okay, let's look at page 52. It starts, first and second aorist. The Koine Greek contains not one, but two basic patterns forming the aorist tense. The difference between these patterns is one of form only. And then it gives you examples of the English. Bake, baked, make, made, take, took, wake, woke. So what he's saying is that it doesn't necessarily, the first and second aorist, as far as I understand it, if it's first or second, it doesn't have to do with the translation. It just has to do with the form. So the first and second aorist, as I understand it, is translated as the aorist. It's just in a different form, as I understand it. So let's go on. Verbs that have the aorist form containing the aorist active aspect morpheme sigma alpha are called first aorist. And, you know, that was from a past lesson. And the forms called are called first aorist forms. Most Greek verbs have first aorist forms. And the majority of these forms, of these form their first aorist, that's as set forth above. However, a number of Greek, Koine Greek verbs have second aorist forms, which are identical to the forms of the imperfect tense, except for their stems. Well, what's going on here? Well, what he's saying is this. He's saying that the second aorist is going to look like the imperfect, except for its stem. All right, and we're going to look at that. Except for its stem. And, you know, again, you know, this could be a lot. It could be confusing. Don't even think like that. Just kind of let it soak in. Like I said last time, and one time I was in the gym a bunch of years ago, and my instructor said, "Don't think about kicking, just kick, Mike." You know, he got sick of my blabbing, and he said, "Imagine that." And he said, "Just kick, Mike, kick." All right, so there's a place where we get to where you are doers. Don't be thinkers. Be a doer. And well, I'm like that. I think about a lot of things, but my mind says, "Hey, man, why don't you get in there and stop thinking about it and do?" So, okay, just above the gray box, it says, "This can be seen by comparing the forms for the imperfect and the second aorist indicative, active indicative, of lapo, I leave." Okay, so what's going on here? Okay. We look at the imperfect, and we see elepon, elepon, elepes, elepen, I was leaving, you were leaving, he was leaving, and then in the plural, it's elepamen, elepata, and elepon. We all were leaving, you all were leaving, they all were leaving. And you notice in the second aorist that the suffixes are the same. The suffixes are the same. Notice that. The omicron nu, the epsilon sigma, the epsilon nu, the omicron mu, omicron, mu, epsilon, nu, they're all the same, except for the stem. Notice that for the imperfect and second aorist, the stems are different. That is to say, I was leaving compared to I left. I was leaving was lepon, elepon, and I left is elepon, elepon, elepon. There's a difference there. So let's read on. Notice that the second aorist differs from the imperfect not by adding the sigma alpha, as in the first aorist, or any other aspect morpheme to the stem of the word, but by differences within the stem itself. All right, and this is, again, just go with it. The stem of the imperfect form, elepon, is lape, but the stem of the second aorist form is elepon, elepon, and is leap. So, why this is important is that when, we said this before, when you're in the Greek lexicon, the dictionary, you might be looking through your interlinear, and you might find a Greek form, or what English people call words, and then you're going to look into your lexicon, and lo and behold, it won't be there. And you'll say, well, why is that? And because sometimes in order to a Koine Greek form in your New Testament, you have to go back to its root or to its stem. That is very important, by the way. That sentence that I just said to you is very important, because otherwise you're going to be sweating sometimes trying to translate a Greek form, because it won't be where you think it's going to be in the Koine Greek lexicon. And I hope that makes sense to you. And so the rule, like we said before, what is the present tense of that verb? I don't know. I am leaving. You know, we'd have to, do that. I suppose that would take, I leave. Okay, I leave. Yeah, I leave. I'm sure, yeah, I leave. We'd have to look into that. That would take, if I did that with every one of these Greek forms, I'd be writing my brains out, which would be okay if I didn't have to work. So I'm sorry about that. But that's something that you can do. You can look at the form for leaving, and you can write it out. That would be a great exercise. Unfortunately, I haven't done that. But you can. Alright, and then let's go on here. Thus, the only difference between the imperfect and the second aorist indicative is that the imperfect is formed on the present stem, while the second aorist is formed on the aorist stem. Alright, so the imperfect is formed on the present stem, and the second aorist is formed on the aorist stem. And even, go with it, that's an important principle. That's the point of that, is that is an important principle to just kind of let file back into your mind. Let's go on. Page 53. Second aorist stems. The original stem of a Koine Greek verb is often preserved in the second aorist stem. I thought that to be highly interesting. I'll read that again. The original stem of a Koine Greek verb is often preserved in the second aorist stem. That's interesting. Read that again and kind of let that soak in. Let me put it this way. The original of any Koine Greek verb is often preserved in the second aorist stem. That's interesting. Alright? And down in the gray box you have an example of what he's talking about. Let's look at that. The gray box on page 53. Again, this all stems, all of this learning stems from what we learned way back in the first couple of lessons about tenses. It's just an unfolding of these principles. That's all it is. So it's like you can trace back what we're doing in this text. That's the beauty of it. All right, so let's look at the gray box on page 53. All right. In the present tense, we have the Koine Greek form hamartano. Actually, it's hamartano. Hamartano, where the accent is. Notice that. Rough breathing over the first alpha, because it curves to the right. Harmatano, I sin. In the aorist tense, pronounced hamartan, Hey, Martin. Notice the accent over the Ada. Rough breathing. Hey, Martin. I sinned. And the stem is how marked, and then an English derivative. So notice that the aorist has kept the verb stem in it. That's the point. Tense of I find. Urisco. Urisco. In the aorist tense for I found, uran. And the verb stem is ur. Ur. Notice that the present and the aorist have kept the same stem. And that is, you know, if you let that sink in, present tense, aorist tense, same stem. That's going to be helpful, won't it? Yeah, that's a piece of the puzzle of Koine Greek. As you read it, that will be important. So just take it in. Don't get worried. Don't be sweating. Just take this stuff in. And if also, too, notice these forms. I sin. Notice the form for that. Amartano. I find. Urisco. You know, just look at these forms. And, oh, hey, you know, that's the, we'll call it the form for I sin. Hamartano. Well, how many times is sin in its forms in the New Testament? Urisco, how many times is the word to find or I find in the New Testament? Next one, lambano, I take. Or the Koine Greek would be elamban, elaban, I took. The root is lab. How many times is I take, lambano, or its forms in the New Testament? Pasco, I suffer, really important Greek form. In the aorist, I suffered, it's epathon, epathon. Pasco, epathon, the root is path. And in the last example, fugo, I flee, and efugan, efugan, I fled. And the root is fug. So what Eck is making the point of is that the original present indicative stem is kept in the aorist. And that is important just to know. All right. So I don't think that you could say, well, that's a helpful tool to know, but you know, I haven't seen that in practice. Well, you know, hopefully eventually before we croak, you will. Down to the bottom of the page, in mini lesson 54, the uses of the imperfect and aorist. So, we know what the present tense is. That's pretty easy. We know what the future tense is. You know, and what it means, that's pretty easy. So now we're going to look at two others, the imperfect and the aorist tense. And after tonight, we're going to get a handle on what they're like, what they mean. And we're going to look into some scriptures tonight. And I'm going to get through these, and I'm going to get through page 54 no matter what. Because what it is it's looking into the actual Word of God and seeing these tenses at work, at least the imperfect and aorist tonight. And I feel that's important it's important so that we kind of like say, hey, you know, I can see these principles at work. And it's beautiful. So let's, this lesson here, this mini lesson, is really important. What we're going to read tonight really is. Okay, so let's go. Bottom of page 53, the imperfect and aorist tenses are used in a wide variety of ways in the Almighty's Koine Greek New Testament. The imperfect has four main uses. Oh no, not some more. Well, hey, you know, now you're gonna get blasted with the imperfect tense. We know the present tense. We know the future tense. Well, how does the Lord use the imperfect tense? And the imperfect tense is used in four ways in God's holy word. And here they are. The progressive imperfect, that's on page 54. We have the progressive imperfect, the customary imperfect, the connative imperfect, and the inceptive imperfect. I don't believe it. After everything we've been through, now you're going to throw this on us? Do you think we are computers? Well, what am I going to say about that? Pray to the Lord, okay? And pray to the Lord about that one. But I find this to be highly interesting because what we can do is if we find these things in scriptures, we can say, hey, number one, the progressive imperative expresses continuous action in the past. As in the example, I kept Lucy. I kept doing something. I kept doing something in the past. Yeah, hey you guys, I did that in the past and I kept doing it. Kept doing it. That's the progressive imperfect tense. That's pretty cool, really. Number two, the customary imperfect expresses habitual action in the past. As in, I used to do something in the past. Not that I kept doing something, but that I used to do something in the past. The customary imperfect. The connative imperfect expresses attempted action in the past. I tried to do something. I tried to loose. You know, and if you think about it, this is pretty cool material. It is. The progressive imperfect, continuous action in the past. The customary imperfect, habitual action in the past. The connative attempted action in the past. You know, that's pretty cool. Yes. The inceptive imperfect expresses the initiation of an action in the past. I began to loose. So, I kept loosing. I used to loose. I tried to loose. And I began to loose. All past action, but slightly different. That's awesome stuff, my friends. Complicated? Okay. You know, but hey, if you ever started getting that down and seeing it in the scriptures, I think that would make you pretty happy. It would make me pretty happy. Let's go on. It is the context. Listen to this. It is the context and not the tense itself that shows which meaning we should choose. For example, the use of the imperfect in Luke 23. Let's turn there in your interlinears. Do you all have interlinears tonight? Your interlinears, that would be your Greek English. So, you know, you don't have to get freaked out that we're looking at the Greek only. We're looking at the Greek English of Luke 23. Yes, sir. Yeah, this is awesome. So now we're going to move into yours. And I think that as we go on, we're going to try to move into the scriptures as much as we can. That's what I have in my mind. So we look at Luke 23. Okay, and we're going to be looking at Luke 23, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 27. And I'm going to tell you that these are both examples of the progressive imperfect. And remember that the progressive imperfect expresses continuous action in the past. Past tense, continuous action. And this is really cool. This just is. Well, look at Luke 23, verse 34. Luke 23:34. And in the English, or in the King James Version, it reads, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now that's very popular, right? Now in the Koine, it reads, just give me a second, my eyeballs are shifting here. It reads, "Hoda Iesus elega pater aphes au tois ugar od desi ti toi use." And underneath in the English it's translated, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And the verb that we are looking at is the verb elega. "And Jesus said," elega. Alright, some of these interlinears are going to be different, by the way. Also, alright, so the point of it being is we look at this verb elega, and it's epsilon, lambda, epsilon, gamma, epsilon. That verb. And this is the point. Elega is a progressive imperfect verb. And elega expresses with action. So the ultimate correct translation of this verse would be, "And Jesus kept repeatedly saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know." Luke 23:34. What they are doing. It's not just, he just didn't say it once, he said it time after time as they were performing their actions upon him. Not just once. So the stress of it is that Almighty God was saying repeatedly, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And what it does is it puts a different emphasis on the Lord, how the Lord was speaking. It does to me. I don't know about you, but it does to me. It takes it from a stating to a pleading. And so, knowing this knowledge, you could translate this verse better than you see it, even in your interlinear. Now, that's pretty cool. And also, you would know more succinctly what the Word of God means. Yeah, and that is pretty cool. So the Lord just didn't say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Like that. Is there a difference? Yes, there's a difference. The progressive imperfect. Big difference. Let's look at Luke 27. Right, you are doing, right. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 27. Thanks, Diane. Matthew 27. Another example of the progressive imperfect. Continuous action. Pardon me, Matthew 27. Verse 30. Interlinear. You know, and you could say, well, this would take some digging. You better believe it, my friends. But you have the armamentarium to move through even the interlinear and check it out. See, that's the point. We have the material. We have the gunpowder to check it out. That's the point. We don't have to rely on anybody but the Lord's Word, even in His original Greek language, to check it out. And if you find something, hey, you found it. That doesn't mean that you the King James creatures have to agree with it at all. That's the point. And I think that's the awesome beauty of what learning the Koine really is. Matthew 27:30. And just bear with me here. Matthew 27:30. The King James reads, and they spit upon him and took a reed and smote him on the head. In the Koine, and bear with me on that one, the Koine reads, Kai emptu santes eis autan eleban tan kalaman kai eptu tan eis tain kafale atu. And in the English underneath it, it reads, and spitting at him, they took the reed and struck at the head of him. Well, the point of it is, and the true meaning of the verb etupton, you'll see that struck, etupton, is this. And spitting at them, they took the reed and kept beating on him again and again and again on his head. They just didn't take the reeds and whack him once. In their fury, they epton, they epton, ep, that's an interesting one. Eptupton. They kept on striking on him again and again and again and again and again. The progressive imperfect. They just didn't hit him once. They were in rage. That's the point. Is there a difference? You bet there is. They were hammering him with these reeds like they wanted to kill him with it. In rage. Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference from even the interlinear English. Is it important? Yes, it's important. You could almost, after a while of knowing these things, sit down and write out your own translation. Yeah. All right, so there is really importantness to this business. They kept on whacking the Lord on the head with these reeds until they couldn't have anything more left to whack him with. That's what their rage was like. Not just once, but a continuous action in rage is what it puts forth. Okay. Let's look back on page 54. In keeping with its name, the aorist refrains from commenting on the kind of action involved in the verb. However, when one examines how the aorist interacts with other features such as context and dictionary or lexical meaning, the following uses of the aorist indicative emerge. Alright, so not only have we learned that the imperfect has four uses, but now we are going to learn that the aorist has three uses, and it's very important because these tenses are extremely important and they're used throughout the New Testament originally. As far as the aorist, we have this constantive aorist. And that what that does is it views an action in its totality. In John 2, verse 20, turn in your interlinear to John 2. The constative aorist views an action in its totality. And we're going to find a little bit of difference here again. Look in your interlinear to John 2, verse 20. The English, King James Version reads, and said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Turning to the Koine, it reads, Ipon un hoi, hisudeoi, tesar akanta kai ex, atisan. O kudo methe. And what we're concentrating on is the Greek verb form oiko dumethe. Oka dumethe. Oka. Okadamete is the correct pronunciation. And in your interlinear, it reads, was being built. But in fact, the correct translation of that is was built. It wasn't being built, it was built. And that is an example of a constantive aorist. It's a completed action in its totality. So, in fact, this should have been translated, was built. That's a little minor adjustment, but in fact, it's still a little bit different. Than what you have in the King James and what you have in the interlinear. It was built. An action that was done in its totality. If you want to get persnickety and you want to be exact, that's what it means. Moving on in the aorist, an ingressive aorist, under number 2 in our text, emphasizes the beginning of an action, as in Romans 14:9. Turn to Romans 14:9 in your interlinear. All right, we have a constantive aorist, which is an action in its totality in the past. We have an ingressive aorist, which is the beginning of an action in the past. Romans 14:9. One second. And the more you deal with this, the more it's going to soak in. We'll go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And the more it's going to soak in, the more important it's going to be. Just like when you study, you might have seen something 2 decades ago, and now you look at it and you go, man, I know a lot more about what that verse means than I do today, even in the English. I know that's true. I've done it. You've done it. Okay, where are we at again? 14:9. And in the King James Version, it reads, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived." That's what it reads in the King James. Now in the Koine, it reads, Eis tuta gar Christas kai apethana kai aneste kai anexesen. And what we're going to concentrate on is the verb form anexesen. Anexesen. And in my interlinear it reads, "For Christ also died and rose again and lived again." And the correct translation, because he is an ingressive aorist, it's a beginning of an action, and it should read this way, ultimately correctly. "For Christ also died and rose again and lived." Doesn't mean revived. Doesn't mean and lived again. It correctly means and lived. That would be the correct translation. Does it matter? Yes, it matters. Everything matters when it concerns the Word of God. Everything. Otherwise, we don't have our brains on straight. All right, let's look at number three, the effective aorist views an action from the vantage point of its conclusion. It's an action that happened in the past, but it's from the advantage point of its conclusion. Let's turn to Philippians 4:11. In your interlinear. Philippians 4:11 in your interlinear. This is great material. We should be thankful that we have scriptures, that we have interlinears, that we have the Koine Greek, that we have this text. We are rich people to the maximum. That's the way I feel if I have my brain on straight. I'm rich beyond compare in this toilet of a world. Philippians 4:11. And in the King James Version, it reads, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." In the Koine Greek, it reads, "Oux." "Ote kath uster eisen Lego Ego Gar Emathon En Ois Emi Altercase. And underneath, in the English translation, it reads, "Not that by the way of need I speak, I forelearned in what state I am content to be." The correct translation, actually, the translators of the King James got it right this time. And the correct translation, because the Koine verb form emathon means I have learned. It's an effective aorist tense verb. I have learned. It's from the vantage point of its conclusion. For I have learned. And so in this aspect, in this, the King James Version is totally correct. You know, so that's excellent. Not saying that they couldn't get things totally correct. And in this instance, they did. Not that I speak in the respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. Now that's a very important truth for us to live by also. Alright, and we're moving on here, and as we're about to come to the finish of this lesson, but I certainly wanted to get through the next paragraph. And so we have, and we see, the point of it is, Chip, is we can prove that it is. That's what's excellent. We don't have to be Koine Greek masters. We can use the tools that we have. And so, towards the bottom of page 54, it says, because the aorist is of much higher frequency. This is a little tidbit to stuff in the back of your minds, that the aorist is much of higher frequency of occurrence in the Koine Greek New Testament than the imperfect. It says that. Because the aorist is of much higher frequency in the Koine Greek New Testament than the imperfect, it is always proper to ask why the imperfectum rather than the aorist. All right? So far we learned that the imperfect has four different ways it's used by the Almighty God in his New Testament scriptures, and we have the aorist that's used in three ways by the Holy Spirit, the Almighty God, in the New Testament scriptures. But we also learned that the aorist is used a lot more frequently than the imperfect, so that when we find the imperfect tense, it must be for a real good reason by the Holy Spirit. Awesome stuff. No doubt about that. Let's turn to Galatians 1. And we're going to end with this tonight. Before we do this, let me just say this. On page 55, you have a paradigm of the verb eimi, or I am. And this is in the imperfect. And what you should do is you should combine the gray box on page 55 with the one on page 22. So then not only will you have the present tense of eimi, or I am, but you'll have the imperfect of the verb I am. Very important. So then you can put those two down in a little chart. Turning back to page 54, it reads, in the last paragraph, a striking example of the careful selection of tenses is found in Galatians 1, 13 and 14. Let's go there in your interlinear. Awesome stuff. So now, the Holy Spirit is putting these rules to practice right in your own, or His own, New Testament scriptures, or the Almighty's own. Galatians 1, 13 and 14. In the King James, those two verses, and you'll have to bear with me when I try to pronounce it in the Koine, but in the King James it reads, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." Now, these verses that Dr. Black have chosen, if you haven't noticed, are pretty important verses. They're mentioned many times, aren't they? I mean, we've heard these verses a lot in our careers as adopted sons of God, haven't we? Yes. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure Paul," you know, "I, persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." In the Koine Greek, it reads, ekousata gartein emein anastrophe pota en tu ailus de smo hoti kath huperbolein edeokan tein ekklesion to theu kai epur thun atein kai pro kapton en to ihu small huperpalus sune likiosta kiostas en tu gene mu peri suteros zelotes huparkon ton park frikon mu parad osuon. Again, and in the English underneath it reads, "For you heard my way of life when in Judaism, that with surpassing zeal I persecuted the church of God and ravaged it, and progressed in Judaism beyond many contemporaries in the race of me, much more a zealot, being of the ancestral traditions of me." So Paul was a zealot, and I mean, he was 110%er when it came to the traditions of Judaism. He went hog wild for them. And I think that the Lord loves that spirit. Not saying that persecuting the church was correct by any means, but that was the spirit in this man. He went hog wild for things of the Lord, 110%, and I believe that that's the heart that the Lord wants us to have. I really do. And so let's move on to page 54, and then we'll end. A striking example of careful selection of tenses is in Galatians 1:13 through 14. For ye have heard. This is for ye have heard. Let's look into the interlinear. For ye have heard. Let's look at that form. And what that form is acousita. And in here it reads, for you heard. But the correct translation, since it's an effect of aorist, would be aorist. It would be for ye have heard. And so the King Version, again, got it correctly. For ye have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute. This is a customary imperfect. Let's look at the verb form there. I used to persecute. And the verb form there is ediokon. Ediokon, and what the interlinear translated as I persecuted. The King James Version translated I persecuted. But the correct translation is I used to persecute. That's a little different, but it's important according to the rules of the Holy Spirit. Because that verb form, ediokon, is a customary imperfect verb. I used to persecute the Church of God beyond measure and try to destroy. A connative imperfect. In the interlinear, that verb form, try to destroy, is what they translated as ravaged. Eparthun. And what the King James translated it as, they translated it as wasted it. So you have ravaged it, you have wasted it, but he tried to destroy it. Is there a difference? What is that if he wasted it, you know, my mind says this, if he wasted it, it would be gone. If he tried to destroy it, it would still be remaining. Right? In our English understanding. If Paul wasted it, it would be totally gone. In the English, I think. If he ravaged it, that might lead you to believe that it could be gone, or there might still be some beat up parts yet, who knows. But in the correct translation of it, if he tried to destroy it, that means that he failed, doesn't it? Yeah, it means that he failed. If he tried to destroy it, but he didn't destroy it, failed. And so there you have a very important distinction. I feel, and I believe that's true. Paul tried to destroy it. He tried to waste it, but he didn't succeed. And that's brought out in the Koine Greek. Going on, and tried to destroy it, which is a connative imperfect. And I kept advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. In the King James, it reads, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. In the interlinear it reads, and progressed in Judaism. And the interlinear has a better translation because the actual translation is it's a progressive imperfect verb, and it means I kept advancing. So the verse 14 in the King James might lead you to the idea that he made money in the Jews' religion. But that isn't true. He kept advancing. That has nothing to do with money in my mind. So he profited in something more than money. And so the interlinear had a better translation on that, but not exact. So, these are but a few shades of the meaning that are important to grasp, if only because they usually defy or they're different than the English translations. And that's going to be it, and we're done with Lesson 7. Next time, we're going to go into Lesson 8, and we're going to try to get through as much of Lesson 8, additional prepositions, pages 58 through 64, as we can. And like I said, my plan is to go on to Lesson 9, and go on to Lesson 10, get through these lessons, and then we're going to go back and we're going to live in lessons numbers 1 through 10 for a while. And I'll ask you some questions. I might have you at the beginning of a class. Let's just say we get through lesson number 10, then I'll say, next time, put some ideas together as what you want to go over again. And I'll have you type that in, and I'll write it down, and we'll do that. And then we'll hang out in lessons 1 through 10 for a bunch of weeks, and then we'll move on. That's my plan. All right? So, I think that what I'd like to do is I'd like to have... Okay, the next Greek class is tentatively set for September 8th. In 3 weeks. Oh. We will be gone all of September.
Well, get it recorded.
Well, what do you think we should do then, folks? Did you want to type in your opinion? All right, while you're doing that, I'll end this lesson with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time that we live in, 2012, the coming to the end of this age, we believe, the times leading to the very close second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt, and the revealing of the man of sin. We thank you for all of the gifts that we have in your scriptures, for all the people that gave their lives to so that we could have the scriptures in the English, for the many helps we have, for the professors of the Koine Greek, for the text that we have. We're so blessed, we don't even know it. We're blessed in the heavenlies with all spiritual blessings. The Son of God, God in the flesh, coming down and doing these things for us. We should be overjoyed with the amount of blessing being poured upon us. And we thank you for this time and that we have the hearts. We pray that our hearts might be overflowing in the zeal for your word. And we thank you for all these special folks, these special hearts and minds tonight that love you so very much, that they're with us. And we pray that you would keep us until we meet again, or... if not according to your will, we pray that we might lean to your will in all things. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Creator, our Savior, and our Head. Amen.